But go into the city, and a man you will meet carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? I'm reading here from Mark 14. And in verse 15, he will show you a large upper room, furnished, prepared. There make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came in the city and found it just as Christ had said. They prepared the Passover. We're not going to go back there, but in Exodus 12, the lamb was put up, I think, on the 12th day. It was killed at sunset on the 14th day. They had the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, and the wine. They prepared the Passover. I've never told this story, but from time to time we go over to a friend's house that used to go to church with us at Worldwide. And a lot of the Worldwide people are there when we go. This lady had children that came through our YES class, my class. And I asked her, how was she doing? She said, fine. This was several years ago. I asked her, how was church? She said, oh, church is fine. She said, the only thing that I regret, is that my children missed hunting Easter eggs all those years. That's what she regretted. Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians that on the same night in which Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in like manner, after supper, he took the cup and he passed it around and he said, this is a new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Christ nowhere talked about Easter eggs, bunnies, sunrise service. But Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. In other words, we're to partake of the wine and partake of the small piece of leavened bread to remind us of the death and the sufferings of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so my question is this. During this Passover season, we are 2 weeks out. Will we remember Christ? Will we remember his life? Will we study the scriptures that talk about his sufferings, his death, his resurrection? And brethren, please don't get me wrong here. I know we're going to spend a lot of time at work making sure that we get everything done so that we can take off during the holy days. I know that we're going to make sure that the wine that we get is going to be just the right age. I know that we're going to make sure that our house has all the leavening out and our automobiles. I know that we're going to have our home spick and span for the guest that's going to come. But will we go through the scriptures and prepare spiritually and recall what Christ went through on our behalf? And so the purpose of this sermon is to encourage us to remember or to call to our attention or to keep Christ in our minds during this coming up Passover season. And I really want to give Gloria thanks for letting the Passover season be a nice place around our house. So I know she's listening. But now, brethren, this 50 minutes here will not do this subject justice. It won't do it. Christ, they said, I think in the last book of John, if we looked at all the books, there would not be enough books to cover the life of Christ. But you might ask, well, where would one begin a sermon like this? Would he begin at the book of Revelations or the book of Genesis? So we're going to begin at the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 11. Revelation 5 and verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders. The number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." Verse 13, "And every creature which is over the heavens, on the earth, under the earth, in the sea," every creature now, "and all of them that's in them, I heard them saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne," that's God the Father, "and to the Lamb forever and forever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen, or so be it." And the 24 elders fell down and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So Jesus Christ is worthy of all the praise. He's worthy for us to remember his life, his death, his sufferings, and his resurrection. And so not only during this time of the year, brethren, but we should be remembering Christ all year long. And so will we remember Christ during this Passover season? The day is coming when every knee will bow to Christ and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. So we're giving an opportunity to do that now. But let's go back to Genesis now and look at something here in the book of Genesis. Genesis 26. But before we go to Genesis 26, I want to bring this out, that it was through Abraham that God promised through his seed, Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And a lady asked me yesterday, how do we know that this was Christ? Well, this scripture is quoted at least three or four times in the New Testament, pointing that it was talking about Christ. So how did God bless all the nations through Christ? Well, it was through Christ coming to the earth, setting us an example in how we should live, being rejected by his own people, enduring an excruciating death, paying the penalty for our sins, and finally God raising him at the end of the third day. That's how it was a blessing for all peoples. And so we see in Genesis 26 and verse 3, Genesis 26 and verse 3, that this promise that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Jesus Christ became unconditional. Because in 26 and verse 4, "I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven," God is talking to Isaac, "and I will give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And here in verse 5, "because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my law." So this promise of Jesus Christ coming to bless all nations became unconditional. But now, brethren, that doesn't mean that we don't have to do our part, does it? We have to overcome. We have to endure. We have to become what God wants us to be and what God wants us to become. So the Passover is just the first step in God's great master plan to redeem mankind. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. I want to read this from several different translations. Deuteronomy 18:18. Here God is speaking to Moses. And he says, I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And I will put, this is God speaking now, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whosoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything that I order him. Whosoever does not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, will have to account for himself to me. That's what God says. And in the modern translation, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever does not hearken unto my words, which he speak in my name, I will require it of him. And so the question is, brethren, are we listening to the prophet that God sent? Are we listening to the prophet that God sent? This Passover season gives us an opportunity to reflect upon the life, the sufferings, the death, the resurrection of that prophet that God sent. And so are we listening? We have 4 weeks to prepare. Out of the three major religions on the earth, the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians, all three derived their beginnings from Abraham. And all three read the writings of Moses. But only one believes that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. Is the true Messiah. I bought this booklet, 101 Things Everyone Should Know About Judaism. I wanted to quote something here. It's on page 70. Today, Passover remains the most widely observed of all the Jewish holidays. Passover essential's message is one of freedom in every connotation, not only freedom from slavery, but also freedom to think, freedom to believe, and freedom to pray as one chooses. The Hebrew word for Passover, the holy day that commemorates the sparing of the Hebrew firstborn sons and their deliverance from slavery in Egypt, is P-E-S-A-C-H, and it means to pass through, or over, or to spare. The holy days has other less common employed names as well, and I won't try to name these, but one is Holy Day of Spring, another one is Holy Day of Unleavened Bread, and the other one is Season of Our Liberation. During the centuries following the exodus from Egypt, the Hebrews were consistently, now get this now, they were consistently neither in their observance and adherence to the commandments nor in their relationship with God. So what he's saying here is that they were not consistent. That's an interesting way he put that, making them, I guess, feel good. As a consequence, Passover was sometimes celebrated and sometimes not. Sometimes celebrated and sometimes not. After the destruction of the first temple, the Jews did observe Passover while in exile in Babylon, but without the paschal offering, that is the sacrificial lamb, in 516 BC when some Jews returned to Israel and rebuilt the temple, the traditional observance at the temple resumed. During the era of the second temple, Jews once made pilgrimages in Jerusalem and celebrated the holy day with festive meals, merriments, and studies. The Pharisees added other things. But we see here that it became watered down. It became watered down over the years. The Passover evolved into a holy day celebration primarily in the home. Its message of freedom has remained relevant for the Jews in the diaspora. That means not living in the Holy Land. And for people everywhere, perhaps this is why it is the most widely celebrated Jewish holiday today. So yes, they do celebrate this day. Yes, it is the most holy day. But they have no Messiah. They have no Messiah. Now let's go to Psalms 22, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 22, verse 1 and 2. We saw from what the lady said at the picnic, after years of not keeping the Passover, the only thing that I missed, I hate that my children missed, was the Easter eggs. Here we see the words of Jesus Christ when he was upon the tree. The thoughts of Christ when he was hanging on the tree. To the chief musician, I'm just going to read two verses of this. We should have all these verses marked in our Passover readings here. But here in verse 1 and 2, to the chief musician set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David, Christ is saying here, my God, why have you forsaken me? The thoughts of Christ when he was hanging there on the tree. Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. God drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden because of sin. Because of sin. He destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. As an example, because of sin. And wickedness had become so great upon the face of the earth that God destroyed everyone living except those that were in the ark because of sin. Because of sin. And so here in Psalms, we see Christ feels that God had forsaken him because of our sins, brethren. However, as he was stretched out on the tree, pain shooting through his hands and feet, flesh pulled from his back, blood running down his head, water gushing out his side, cold and naked, God wanted us to see the price that it took to pay for your sins and mine. The price that it took to pay. And so will we remember Christ during this Passover season? Will we remember his life, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection? Or will this Passover season just come and go? Will it just come and go? There are 62 scriptures quoted in the Old Testament that are quoted in the four Gospels and the book of Acts. And we're just going through a few of these. Let's go over to Psalms 49. This is an interesting scripture. Psalms 49. I want to read this in the Good News. Psalms 49, 8 through 15. Verse 8 says, for the redemption of their souls is costly. The Good News says, because the payment of human life is too great, what could pay would never be enough. There is not enough money on earth to pay for eternal life. Now, I wondered many times how much old Blue Eyes was worth. That's Frank Sinatra. He was one person who didn't flaunt his money. But they said when Frank Sinatra died, he was worth about $78 million. And that $78 million, brethren, could not buy eternal life. Couldn't do it. Verse 9, there's not enough money to keep us from the grave, to let us live forever. Anyone can see that even the wise die as well as the foolish and the stupid. I'm reading from the Good News here. They all leave their riches to their descendants. Their graves are their homes forever. There they stay for all times, though they once had land of their own. When I used to travel sometimes with HealthSpring through Macon County, you would go down the street, it would say Ted Shelton's Road. These people would have roads named after themselves. But when they die, the road still has the name, but doesn't mean anything. It says in verse 12, our greatness cannot keep us from death. Our greatness, when all these basketball stars, and a few of them get shot every now and then, when they die, their money can't buy them eternal life. You hate to see that happen, but it does happen. We will still die like animals, he says in verse 12. See what happens to those who trust in themselves, the faith of those who are satisfied with their wealth. Verse 14, they are doomed to die like sheep, and death will be their shepherd. The righteous will triumph over them as their bodies quickly decay in the world of the dead far from their homes. But here is the good news. In verse 15, God did not leave Jesus Christ in the grave to decay. Verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Talking about Christ. And so God raised Christ from the dead to prove to every one of us, or as an example, that there is going to be a resurrection. So death, brethren, no longer is swallowed up in victory. Death no longer has a sting if we are living our life in Christ and anticipating a change to spirit someday. So as 1 Corinthians says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. This scripture right here is quoted several times. In fact, I think Christ quoted this scripture. Psalms 118 and verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Which day would that be? The day that Christ was born. The day that he walked on the earth and set us an example in how we should live. Yes, and the day that Christ took those stripes for every one of us. And the day that God raised him from the dead. And in Isaiah 7, verse 14, you don't have to turn there. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. That means what? God with us. So, through Jesus Christ, God began to dwell with man. I wanted to read these scriptures here also. In John 5:24-29. This is what Christ said proving that there is going to be a resurrection. John 5, 24 through 29. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believe in him who sent me has eternal life. Of course, brethren, we come to know that just believing is much more to salvation than just believing. We have to do our part. We do have to come out of sin, as the sermonette was brought out, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Verse 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear the voice of Jesus Christ and will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Better rendered, the resurrection of judgment. Because God is not going to put anyone in the lake of fire who has not heard about Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a resurrection to judgment. And so, brethren, it is through Jesus Christ and God's holy day plan that God has began to dwell with man. And brethren, we are witnesses of God's plan to redeem mankind. We are witnesses. We are all sitting here anticipating the Passover and witnesses of God's great plan. Let's read a couple of more sets of scriptures from the Old Testament. Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. This is a beautiful set of scriptures here. Here we see, and these scriptures that I've read to you, some of them talk about eternal life in the Old Testament. But here in Isaiah 25, 8, he will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away every tear from all faces. Now I know some of us in here are going through some terrible things. But in the not too distant future, brethren, those things are going to be just bywords. I know that we have to call on God to help us to go through these things. But the day is going to come when tears are going to be wiped away from all faces. The rebuke, that is the reprieval, reprievement sharply. That's what rebuke means, to reprieve sharply. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, because God Almighty has spoken it. And then in verse 9, it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. Can you imagine all peoples all around the earth saying this? This is our God. Those who worship Confucius and those who worship Buddha and those who are atheists. Behold, this is our God. We will wait for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. It's going to be a wonderful time when all mankind is going to be on the same page. It's not going to come overnight, is it? And so, brethren, the Passover season gives us an opportunity to reflect upon Christ's life, Christ's sufferings, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection. Let's go over to Isaiah 53:1. This is the last set of scriptures from the Old Testament. Isaiah 53:1 through 5. Again, all of these scriptures should be in your notes for the Passover. Who has believed our report? This book that brings out that they didn't believe the report about Jesus Christ. And to whom has the arm of the Eternal been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Now they thought Jesus Christ was going to come as a rugged tree, but he came as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when you see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When you see all of the pictures of Christ on TV, he has this all this beautiful face and all this beautiful long hair. But here it says, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised. He was rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with griefs, and we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken by God and afflicted. But this is what God wanted in verse 5. This is what God wanted. God wanted him to be wounded for our transgressions. God wanted him to be bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Christ. And so by his stripes we're healed. And so will we remember Christ during this Passover season? Or will it be just a passing day? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You don't hear much about the world to come on television. It's basically trying to get what you can get today. But here in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 19 through 22, if in this life, it's nothing wrong with having a nice job, having a nice home, having a little money in the bank, nothing wrong with that. But in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most pitiable. But you see, now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who slept. And for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But a lot of the religions don't believe that. And over in Romans 5 verse 6. Romans 5. Verses 6 through 10. Now, we've heard stories on the battlefield how people will give their life for a company of their fellow soldiers. And their family receives a flag and a couple of decorations for the lapel. And that's admirable, isn't it? But look at this. When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. And everyone else who have lived, living now, who will ever live, and who have ever lived. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Now, I heard on the radio coming in that dying for a king would be okay. or the president. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But verse 8, God demonstrated, put it into action, his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved. Look at this. We shall be saved from wrath through Christ. And in verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by Christ's life. Saved by his life. And so that means that we have to surrender, doesn't it? And that means that we have to allow Jesus Christ to live his life within us. Live his life within us. Now in 1 Corinthians 11, see if I can find my scripture here. Paul brings this out. 26 through 28. Now I think I'm reading this from the Good News. But he says, this means that every time you eat the bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the death, the Lord's death until he comes. Every Passover we eat of the bread and drink of the wine and we proclaim his death. It follows that if one of you eat the Lord's bread or drink from the cup in a way that dishonors him, you are guilty of the sin against the Lord's body and against his blood. So then in verse 28, we should examine ourselves, as was brought out in the sermonette. Examine ourselves first and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Paul writes that we ought to examine ourselves according to how we measure up to Jesus Christ and not anyone else. God said of Abraham, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charges, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. And God has called each one of us in this room, brethren, because God knew that you had the stamina and being equipped with his Holy Spirit, you could endure and be in his family along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How about that? God knew it. We just have to do our part, don't we? Right. Now, I want to touch on one thing. There are people in here who are not baptized. And let's go over to John 3. Because everyone is going to have an opportunity for eternal life. Everyone is going to be called and given an opportunity for eternal life. John 3. And 14 through 17. Now here we see that Christ really wants to give salvation to everyone, brother. He wants to offer salvation to everyone. Everyone in his own time, of course. A lot of people won't be given eternal life until they come to the great white throne judgment. Some will be given eternal life throughout the millennium. So everyone in his own order. But here Christ says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, this is in 3 verse 14, the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when Christ was saying these words, brethren, the Jews were trying to put him to death. They was rejecting him. And in verse 16, the most famous verse of all the Bible, this is probably the first verse you remembered. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so if you haven't been baptized, if you're just a baby, your time is going to come. The big question is, when your time comes, will you accept the calling? Will you accept the calling? Now, brethren, here is the last set of scriptures here in John 12. And I'm sorry, I hope I didn't cut this too short. I know y'all will probably be looking for about an hour and 10-minute sermon. But I think I timed this at 50 minutes, and I think it's going to be shorter than that. But here in John 12, we read this. Now, this is in John 12 in verse 27 through 32. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it was thunder, and others said an angel spoke. And Jesus Christ answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but because for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now the rulers of this world, that Satan the devil, will be cast out. We know just at that time, Jesus Christ was given all power in heaven and in earth. And then he made this statement here in verse 32. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. That's what this Passover pictures. It's just the first step in God's great master plan to draw all men unto himself. And if you are not baptized yet, when you get that calling, will you heed that calling? The day will come when God will extend salvation and pour out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. The holy days give us a picture of God's great master plan, beginning with the Passover. And so during this Passover season, brethren, will we remember Jesus Christ? Will we go through the scriptures and study his life and the things that he taught us to do? Will we go through the scriptures and study his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection? The Passover, when is going to be just as important in the world tomorrow as it is the world today, because it's going to take Jesus Christ to save all mankind. There is no other name by which man can be saved except by the name of Christ. And you find that in the book of Acts 4 verse 12. And so, brethren, yes, let's read the scriptures and prepare for the Passover. Yes, let's examine ourselves and prepare for our renewal coming up Passover night. Yes, let's clean our homes and dwellings. looking for leaven, and also getting the leaven out of our own lives. Yes, let's prepare our meals and our homes for the guest on the night to be much observed. Yes, let's be here on the holy days, the first day and the last day, and bring your offering. Yes, brethren, let's eat the unleavened bread every day during the days of unleavened bread. But as we prepare for the Passover season, brethren, let's remember Jesus Christ and reflect upon his life, his death, his sufferings, his resurrection. And I hope that everyone will have a blessed Passover and a happy days of unleavened bread.